Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And you might think, hey, Matthew's not Mark, and you would be observant if you thought that. We are going to, for the next 3 weeks, walk through a series called Foundations. We walked through a series called Foundations last year around this time. This is not an accident that we're doing it again. Next year around this time, guess what? We're going to do it again. Now, it's not going to be the same exact thing, but we're going to have the same theme. We need to know who we are. We need to have some foundations into how we're supposed to live in everyday life, in and out of church, in our home life, in our school life, in our work life, in everything. We need to be built on the solid rock. So Matthew chapter 22, if you're there, and even if you're not, please stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Matthew 22, we're going to start in verse 34 and read through verse 40. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on those two commands." Father, now as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak truth to our hearts. Help us to understand and apply your word and to leave here changed for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So this week, as we begin our Foundations series, we're going to go back and look at who we are as a church. And we're going to look at our mission and vision statement. And if you've seen our sign, if you've seen the bulletin, if you've seen the website, if you've seen Facebook, if you've seen just about anything that we put out, you've seen these words: love God, love others, share His story. Love God, love others, share His story. And so as we begin to walk through this idea of saying, what is the foundation of my life, or what should be the foundation in my life? And we think about who we are. We need to walk through these things. And so what we understand in our church is that we have this discipleship path. And there are these three categories that we just talked about. And there are five steps that we're going to talk about that are tangible ways to help us to understand if we're living the way God wants us to live. And so we're going to look at these three categories: love God, love others, share His story. And we're going to look at five steps to help us determine, am I living the way that God wants me to live? So first of all, we're going to look at love God. Love God. If you look there again in verses 36 through 38, he was asked, what command is the greatest? Now, we don't have time to back up and see where it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees came together to trick Jesus. They didn't like each other. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they were opposed in some doctrinal areas. They didn't really hang out a lot. But for some reason, when it came to Jesus, they could be unified in their hatred of him. And so they came together, but we don't have time for that. But they came and said, what's the greatest command? They were trying to trick Jesus. Now, I don't understand in their minds why they thought this was going to trick Jesus. But he just simply says, you need to make sure that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And so in our discipleship process, the first category is to love God. Now, the way that we do things right here in this worship service, this is where our goal is to introduce everybody who walks through these doors to loving God. We introduce you to Jesus Christ right here. This is the first step. Now, that doesn't mean that as you kind of walk through life and you become more spiritually mature, you get to skip out on worship, or you get to skip out on church. This is for everyone to help us to deepen our relationship with Jesus. But if you're someone who's never met Jesus, this is the place we want you to come so you can learn how to know Jesus and how His love is for us. And John said this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this: not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so we see here that God's love is known not because we're really great and we could figure out how to love God, but because God is really great and He has shown us His love and we can reciprocate that love. And we see it in Jesus. Jesus is the expression of God's love to the world. What does it say there? It says that he sent his one and only son, and it says at the end of verse 10, to be the atoning sacrifice. There's a word that we like to use in theological worlds called propitiation. Great word. You know what it means? Atoning sacrifice. It says it right there, okay? If you weren't paying attention, you could see it. All right, but here's what we have to understand, that here was God's love was so great that he stepped out of heaven on into earth, out of timelessness into time, so that we could know him. So the first step for every single one of us in our lives is to love God. We must know Jesus Christ. It is not good enough for us to conceptually understand there is a God. We must know Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? Well, first of all, we have to put our faith and trust in him, in his atoning sacrifice. That's what John said right there. But then as we grow in our relationship, we've come to the point where we've said, yes, I believe in Jesus. Now it's time for us to grow. How do we do that? What does love God look like? Well, first of all, it looks like this. God daily. God daily. We believe that every single Jesus follower needs to spend time in his word and prayer every day, without exception. We believe that very strongly. And so if we're going to start our discipleship process, it doesn't start by you coming to church. That's a good place to be, but this is just a little part of it. It starts with me every day spending time alone with Jesus, reading his word, studying it, meditating on it, praying, having relationship with God, God daily. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 1. He says, "How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers." Now, if we stop right there, what you can see is we can see a three-step progression into sin. First of all, he's just kind of walking by. Secondly, he's kind of standing there. Thirdly, he's right involved in the sin. And God's saying, hey, the one that's happy isn't doing that. But look at this next verse. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. The word meditate is this idea to continually be thinking over and thinking over and thinking over and understanding and learning and growing from what you've heard, what you've read, what you've studied. You see, for many of us, what happens is we show up to church on a Sunday morning. We hear the word of God in Connect Group. We hear the word of God in our worship service. And by the time we get in the car, we've completely forgotten. That's not meditating. Meditating is when we sit down and we begin to think back over, what did I learn in Connect Group? What did I learn in worship? What did I study in my own personal worship time? And thinking back over that, And here's the end result of this person who meditates on God's word day and night. Verse 3, he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now listen, this is not an easy belief. This is not prosperity gospel where if you just spend time with Jesus, everything in life's going to be awesome. Your bank account's going to grow, and you're going to have a million bazillion friends. When it's talking about being successful and prospering, it means in our relationship with the Lord. It means in holiness. It doesn't mean life is going to be perfect. It means in that imperfection, we can still have hope and we can still have truth because we are grounded like a tree that's by a riverbank where its roots are going way down deep and it's solid and it's anchored in. Look, it goes on, it says verse 4, the wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. And so I look at this and I think, man, I would much rather be like that one who meditates on God's word and is like a tree who's deeply rooted in, that when the storms of life come, it's not going to be blown over because of the deep roots. Whereas it says the wicked are like chaff. That's like the part of the wheat that they would kind of winnow and get away, and it has no value at all, and it just blows away. I want to be like that one who's deeply embedded into the bedrock of Jesus Christ. So I was thinking about this, what does God daily look like? What does God daily look like? Number one, intentional Bible reading. No one has ever by accident become holy. We don't just trip and fall and all of a sudden we're living like Jesus. It takes intentional acts on our part to study the Word of God, to read it, to meditate on it. So intentional Bible reading. Number two, honest and raw prayer. Sometimes we get in the habit of doing Sunday school prayers. Dear God, thanks for the sun. Bless all the missionaries in the world. Nothing wrong with those things. But if that's all we ever pray, that's not honest and raw prayer. What we talked about a couple weeks ago, the man who brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, everything's possible for those who believe. And he says, I do believe, help my unbelief. Honest and raw. When's the last time that we've looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm struggling here. I want to be this, and instead I'm this. I want to do this, and instead I do this. Here are some hurts in my life. Here are some things that I don't know how to handle. Here are some things that I'm really afraid about. Honest and raw prayer. Number three, reflective meditation. Reflective meditation. Man, it's great if we can study the Word of God on our own, but if we never go back and think about it, we never really dive in and say, okay, how am I applying this to my life right now? How's what I read and studied this morning affecting me in this moment? Reflective meditation. And number four, heartfelt worship. Now, what we did just here a couple minutes ago with the band up here and Randy leading us, that was one expression of worship. That was a great expression. We sang the gospel this morning. We sang about God's amazing grace that took those of us who have put our faith and trust in Him, that we were far, far away from Him, and now we are walking in fellowship with Him. That is one expression of worship. It's not the only expression of worship. But maybe for you, you get up in the morning and you spend time with Jesus, and then you're in your car on the way to work, and you are just cranking up your iTunes, and you got a little Crowder going on or something like that, and you are just rocking out and praising. That's a great expression of worship. Maybe for you, it's just sitting quietly and being grateful for God's great grace in your life. Maybe for you, it's going and doing an act of service or giving or something like that, an act of worship, a heartfelt worship. And I got to tell you something. We need to understand that this is something that is on our own. We need to have time with our families. We need to have time where we're gathered together as a church family. We need to listen to podcasts and read books and all those sort of things. But we individually, you and I individually, need to go into God's Word and read it and study it and apply it to our lives. We can use all those other things to help us. But we should be going right to the source of truth rather than someone else's expression of what they believe the truth is. Now, listen, I'm all for devotional books. I'm all for commentaries and helps like that to help us to understand. I use them all the time. But we have to have time where we are going to the Word of God and spending time with Him. Now, you may have noticed out here in the lobby, we have a little table set up and we have Word of Life Quiet Time Diary booklets. This today starts the very first, I don't know why I just said booklets, that was weird. And I saw Josh laugh when I said it, I apologize. They're books. I don't even know what a booklet is, to be really honest. It just kind of came out. Huh? It's a baby book. This isn't a baby book, this is like legit, all right? So you can go out there, we can buy them. Today starts the Word of Life Quiet Time for the year. And this starts my 20th year of using the Word of Life Quiet Time as part of my devotional study. Now, it's not the only thing that I do, but it is part of it. In my expression, the way I do it, that's what I start with every morning, and then I go into other readings and other studies that I have. This is a great tool. It is not the only tool, but it is a great tool to use to get into studying the Word of God. And depending on which one you get, there's an interactive one and there's the more traditional one. I use the online version, which is more traditional. And it simply asks two questions. Number one, what is the writer saying? Number two, how can I apply it to my life? So it teaches us to understand what the Bible is saying and then how I personally can make it happen in my own life. This is a great tool. You can go out there. We're selling them for $15. I can tell you this, we are not making money on that. In fact, we're losing money on that, but we're selling it to you for $15. You can go, and it is for a full year from now until next August of doing a daily quiet time, a daily personal Bible study. I encourage you to use this. Because this, when we're all using this together, our children use it, our teenagers use it, we can have conversation about it. We can have conversation in church. We can have conversation in our Connect groups about what we're studying. And so this is one way that we can do it. Now, some people say, listen, you don't understand my life. I have to get the kids up and get them out to school, and I've got to get to work, and I've got to mow the lawn every day, and all this different stuff. And I just don't have time for that. Let me be very blunt with you. We make time for that which is important to us. We make time for that which is important to us. And so if you think something is important, no matter what else is going on in your schedule, you will make sure that happens. How much more important is time with God than anything else in life? See, there's a reason that we're starting with God daily is because it is the bedrock foundation for our lives as Jesus followers, that we have to spend time with Jesus Christ every single day. So number one, first step in metric is God daily. Number two is gather weekly. Gather weekly. We believe that every Jesus follower should gather for corporate worship and faith, in our faith, and worship Jesus with others every week. Gather weekly. Getting together, coming and being here. This is what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let me take the very end of that. It says, gather together the more that you see the day approaching. In other words, as we get closer to Jesus coming back, we should be gathering more, not less. We gather for study, we gather for worship, we gather for fellowship, we gather for growth. And so we are to gather together. And so as we're learning to love God, first, God daily, second, gather weekly, where we come together in this expression, in this room here, where we are spending time corporately worshiping God through prayer, through giving, through song, and through the preaching and hearing of the Word of God. So what does gather weekly look like? A couple weeks ago, unrelated to this, I saw a guy. I don't know him at all. His name is Whitney Clayton. He's a pastor in Arizona. And he said this, and I screenshot it and kept it and used it for today. It's a little bit convicting. There's a few things in here that kind of stepped on my toes this week. Let me just tell you this. And here's one of them. He said this: one practical step to improve your Sunday church experience is to arrive 15 minutes before the service and stay 15 minutes after the service. Three things will change. Number one, you will find the worship more impactful and your pastor more insightful because a calm heart is fertile ground. Sometimes we pull into the parking lot on two wheels because we are running late and there's like 30 seconds before the service starts, and we come flying in here and we throw the kids over in their rooms over there. We're kicking everyone out of the car. We're running in here. I mean, our hair is everywhere, you know, and all that stuff. We come in and we're like, all right, we're here. We're not ready to worship. And so he's saying, hey, show up 15 minutes early. You'll find more impactful worship. Number two, you will find new friends. You can't build new friendships on the run. Hopefully this isn't anybody in here, but I've been around many people before who show up late and leave early and then complain that nobody talked to them. Well, that church isn't just a very friendly church. Nobody talked to me even though I showed up 20 minutes late and left at the invitation. No, you're going to build relationships. By the way, there is no greater place to build relationships than in church. So you will have new friendships because you have time to be around people. Number three, you will find a place to serve. As you talk with those who are serving, you will discover areas where you would fit in to serve. As you begin to just spend time around here and see what's going on and talking to people, you'll find, hey, I could be involved in that area. Oh, we need people in our children's ministry and our student ministry. We need people in our music ministry and our tech ministry. I could do those sort of things. We need more people to hold doors and hand out bulletins and welcome people and talk to guests. I could do those sort of things. And we learn that we can serve in different areas. Now, here's something. You can get really radical and show up 30 minutes early and spend time praying. I know that's a little crazy for some of us. Why would I go up to church early? Just spend time praying. Every Sunday morning, the deacons and Josh and myself, we gather together before Connect Group, and we just spend time praying. We spend time talking about what's going on, maybe in our personal lives, maybe just as a church, and we spend time and we pray for this morning. We pray for what's going to take place. We pray for every person that's going to come in here. Pray that God would be already convicting our hearts, moving us more towards deeper relationship with Him. Spend time praying. What would happen, church, in our lives and in our church if we decided we were going to show up early, not necessarily eat donuts and fellowship, but to spend time praying and allowing God to work mightily in our lives? But that's only if you want to be really radical. When we gather to study and learn the Bible. We gather to pray. We gather to give. We gather to sing praises to God. We gather to learn to love God. You see, loving God means that I'm seeking Him daily through personal study of His Word, and that I'm gathering weekly to celebrate, honor, and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Number one, love God. We do that God daily, gather weekly. Number two, love others. Love others. Look at Matthew 22, verses 39 through 40. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Jesus said the second category is almost as important as the first. In fact, I would say these aren't one and two. This is 1A and 1B. Because they walk hand in hand of loving God and loving others. And so in our discipleship process, the second category that we have is to learn to love others. Remember when Jesus was asked, well, who is my neighbor? And what did He do? He shared that incredible story of the Good Samaritan. And here's what we learn through that story and through all of Scriptures, that my neighbor is whoever I am in proximity to. Whoever is nearby me in some way, whether I know them or whether I don't know them, they are my neighbor. So this command stresses to us how important it is not only to deal with others, but to love them, enjoy them, and grow with them. You see, it's not that we just tolerate people, but we love them, we enjoy them, because they are a creation of Almighty God. And so we do this in a couple ways. The third step in our discipleship process is group regularly. Group regularly. We gather regularly in small groups to study the Bible and connect with others around us. We call this time connect group. We have most of them are Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We have one women's group that meets Monday nights. And it's time for us to spend in a smaller setting to study the Word of God and begin to do life together. Tom Rainer, in his book, I Will, that came out a number of years ago, wrote this statement. This is incredibly convicting. If I step on your toes, welcome to the club. Now, I'm about to make, remember, this is not me saying this. I'm just reading it, okay? Tom Rainer. I will say this. I 100% agree with it, though. Now, I'm about to make some pretty bold statements about groups, the church, and you. Don't be offended. Just hear me out. If you're not in a group, you are not really committed to your church. If you're not in a group, you are at best a marginal church member. If you are not in a group, the likelihood of your dropping out from your church is high. If you're not in a group, you could be a Christian sluggard. That means you may be an incredibly lazy and uncommitted Christian. That's a little convicting. But I think he's right, because here's what we do. It is one thing for us to show up in worship service like this, where we're all facing the same direction and you don't really have to interact with anyone around you. It's another thing when we begin to do life with people around us. We begin to experience the highs with them, the lows with them, the good things, the really bad things, the struggles, the temptations, the sicknesses, the health. And we begin to walk hand in hand, arm in arm together, and it's tough, and it's difficult, and it's sometimes messy. But this is where we begin to grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord, because we're connecting with, loving, and enjoying those who are around us. We do that as we meet in groups in Bible study each week. We group regularly. Step number four is give consistently. Give consistently. Now, this step actually spans all three categories of love God, love others, and share His story. Because as we begin to love God, we will begin to give regularly and consistently, which causes us to love others because we're giving towards others' needs, which also helps us to share His story as we're seeing the gospel go out around the world. And so while we put this under love others, because that's kind of the point that it begins to really kick in for us, it really is all three. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 said this, "The point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the proof provided by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedient confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone." And we can see that in this passage, the emphasis is on generosity, not in the amount we give. Because here's the truth. All of us are in different places financially. In what we make and what our expenses are and all of those sort of things. We're all in different places. But we can all be generous and give to God. It's an act of worship. In fact, when we begin to give consistently and we give generously, we find out that we really do love God or we really don't love God. Because if we're giving cheerfully, we understand what's happening. If we give grudgingly and say, "I can't believe that the pastor got up there again this morning. He was talking about money in church. I just want them to leave my bank account alone." I'm not going to touch your bank account. By the way, there was a picture I saw on Instagram the other day, and it was like, what do these three types of people have in common? It was bank robber, DJ, and preacher. And they had those, what are those diagrams called that had like the circles and there's the overlapping? It was one of those things. And the overlapping thing was all three people say, "Get your hands up and give me your money." All right, that's not what we're doing this morning. We're not saying get your hands up and give us your money. But that is what we need to understand is that God is saying, hey, listen, he understands how important money is in our lives, and it can become a god very quickly. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said that we are not be concerned with the love of money. The love of money is what leads to the root of all kinds of evil. He says, not that we love money, but not that money is the problem, but the love of money. And so when we understand who God is and how generous he has been towards us, our response of worship should always be to give of our time, our talent, our money. There's a reason that we pass the offering plate. There's a reason that we have online options for us to give. It's because we understand that God is saying this is an important thing for us to give consistently. Our giving is between us and God. There is no New Testament command on the amount. And so the wrong attitude is, how little can I give and still be in good standing with God? That's the wrong attitude. The right attitude is, how much can I give because of how much God loves me and has given for me? That's the right attitude. And we see that the ministry of giving is for meeting needs in order for the gospel to go forward. I love the fact that when we give, we have money that immediately leaves and goes around the world to take the gospel around the world. Through our cooperative program giving, through our giving to the association for the different ministries and missionaries that we support. When you give, I think right now it's about 13 or 14% of everything when we talk about all the different ministries that we support and all that, and hopefully we'll increase that number going forward, immediately goes somewhere else. You see, I believe that we should try to find out how much can we give away, not how much can we keep. As a church, our goal should be how many ministries, how many missionaries, how many people can we be involved in giving? How much more can we give so that we can see things that aren't happening right here in our backyard, but around the world that we can see the gospel go forward? But it's also an expression of thanks to God. We're saying, God, I realize how much you gave. John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son. See, God is a giving God, and he has given to us the opportunity to have forgiveness and eternal life, and our response of worship and thanks to God can be through giving. Loving others means that I'm connecting with them in a meaningful way, and that I'm giving of my time, talents, and resources to further the impact of the gospel. Love God, love others. Number three, share His story. Share His story. If we look at that scripture again there in Matthew, we call this the Great Command. The Great Command. Love Lord your God. Love others as yourself. That is the Great Command. But here's what we need to understand. If we only had the Great Commandment, we would still be compelled to do the Great Commission. If Matthew 28, if Acts 1 never shows up in Scripture, but these words of Jesus saying, hey, love God and love others, if they do show up, guess what we still have to do? Share His story. We still have to talk about Jesus. If we truly love God and we truly love others, we will naturally share His story, which is the gospel. And so the fifth step that we look at in our discipleship process, these three categories, love God, love others, share His story. The fifth step is to go intentionally. Go intentionally. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Notice the words there. It says, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses. These are not optional things. You see, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you got saved, you became a Jesus follower, the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of you, and the same power that shows up in Scripture is now living in you to go and do what God has called us to do, to go intentionally. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And in this passage here, the word go can literally be translated as you are going or as you are living life. As you're going out into the world, we are to go intentionally remembering the gospel, what God has done for us, so that we can take it and give it to others, because the gospel should never stop with us. If the gospel stops with us, it's because we are incredibly selfish and self-centered. Because the way that you got saved is someone shared with you what the gospel was. And so we have to turn around and do the same thing. Both of these verses are imperative commands. They're not optional things. They're not an if you feel like it type of thing. It's a command. Going intentionally is not limited to a church event or a mission trip. It is living life every day on mission to share the name of Jesus with everyone. We're going to put this diagram up here on the screen. And you see, this kind of is a little metric to help us to understand a little bit more about how we're supposed to live and how it all fits together. You can see what's right at the very center there, God daily. Because that's where it all starts. Listen, you can have perfect attendance to connect group and worship your entire life and still miss out on what God really wants for you if you don't have God daily at the center of your life. And as we walk through and we love God and we love others and we share His story, you can see there it says, give consistently and gather weekly and group regularly and go intentionally. You see these things begin to happen. Worship, join, connect, serve, invite, and disciple. And what we see is that there's this pattern that as we begin to walk through this path of deeper relationship with Jesus, we get to the point on the disciple side over there as we're going intentionally that we are now going and grabbing others and bringing them back and walking them through this process together so that we're growing and that they're growing and that we're going intentionally. We're loving God, we're loving others, we're sharing His story, and it is a circle that keeps on going and keeps on repeating. That, my friends, is discipleship. That is the path that we're on. Church isn't about just showing up on Sunday morning and get your Jesus feel goods going on and walk out feeling kind of tingly. Church is all about going deeper in relationship with Jesus Christ and then being intentional about going and getting those others that we bring along with us. And we say to them, listen, I've learned in my life how to love God and how to love others and share His story. And I'm still working through this process, but let me share with you how you can love God. And we share the gospel with them, and we see them come to faith in Jesus. And then we say, all right, now let's see how you can love others. Now let's go together and bring others to Jesus. What are our takeaways this morning? We'll be finished. Number one, do I love God? Am I seeking God daily? The only one who can answer that question is you. Now, maybe your family knows a little bit, but really the only one who can answer that question is you. Am I seeking God daily? It starts there. I'm glad you showed up to church this morning. That's awesome. Thank you. We'll see you next week as well. But it starts today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and even Saturday and next week and the week after and the week after and the week after of seeking God daily. Am I seeking God daily? Am I gathering weekly to worship? I was just talking the other day with someone about how there was a time where, and maybe you grew up this way too, being a pastor's kid, I had to be next to dead to not be at church on Sunday morning. Like if there was not like some kind of liquid or something flowing from my body in some way, I had to be in church. And a lot of times today, you know what we think? Oh, you know, it's really too rainy for me to go to church. Oh, you know what? It's too sunny for me to go to church. The weather's too bad. Oh, the weather's too good. I went last week. Do I really need to go again? No, we need to gather weekly and more so as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Do I love God? Number two, do I love others? Do I group regularly to study and do life with others? We don't have connect groups just for something to do because we wanted everyone to show up earlier. They're an important part of our spiritual lives. And so we encourage every single one of you to be involved in a connect group. There's one for you. We have men's groups, we have women's groups, we have couples groups, we have kids groups if that's your flavor. We have a place for you. You need to connect in and be a part of this group. Also, am I giving consistently to further the impact of the gospel? Giving online, giving in the offering plate. Am I doing it saying, God, here's my act of worship through giving of my money? Number three, am I sharing his story? Am I going intentionally on mission for the sake of the gospel? Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, and so don't respond, don't shake your head or raise your hand or answer out loud. In the last month, I want you to answer this question. In the last month, have I shared the gospel with someone? If the answer is no or I'm not really sure, guess what? We're not living intentionally on mission. We're looking for opportunities and then taking those opportunities to find someone to say, let me tell you about who Jesus Christ is. Let me tell you about what changed my life radically. I love in our student ministry this year, at the very end of every Wednesday night, they have a thing called Pause for the Cause. That lasts, was it 15 minutes, Josh? That last 15 minutes of every Wednesday night is dedicated solely to the gospel. Sharing the gospel, learning how to share the gospel, celebrating how we share the gospel, praying for those who need the gospel, but putting that in front of us so that we can go intentionally, so we can share his story. Friends, listen, we start with God daily, and we end with go intentionally because it is a building step in our lives. Building process, step by step by step, of growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ is imperative for us if we are really Jesus followers to live this way. Not because Brad said it, not because Josh and I sat in the room, came up with some clever phrases, but because the Word of God says it. Because Jesus said, hey, this is what's important in life. It's not just about showing up. It's not just about living paycheck to paycheck. It's not just about having your career and your friends and your fun. It's about living for me. It's about living life on mission. It's about being a Jesus follower and bringing other Jesus followers along with us. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that even though sometimes it's convicting and sometimes steps on our toes, Lord, I'm grateful for it because through your word, you have shown us how to live. You've shown us what's important. You've shown us how to walk in discipleship of who we are, how we're supposed to be, what is the foundation in my life. And so, God, I pray that as a church and as individuals, you would help us to love God and love others and share his story. That you would help us to live life on mission, starting with God daily. That every day we spend time with you. And we're reflecting and meditating and thinking about what you've taught us. That we're gathering together for worship every week. That we're being involved in our groups on a regular basis. That we are giving consistently and that we are going intentionally. God, help us to be this kind of Jesus follower because there is no other kind of Jesus follower. So Lord, I pray that you would impress upon us this morning the importance of living the way that your word tells us to live. Lord, I pray this morning if there's anyone here who has never before put their faith and trust in Jesus, that today would be their day, that they would recognize that there is only one way to forgiveness, one way to heaven, one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, he was buried and rose again. And all those who would believe, who would have faith, will be forgiven, will be given a place in heaven. So, Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who has never said yes to you, Lord, today would you prompt them? Would you give them a want to inside so that they can live knowing that they have a relationship with you? Father, may we be those who live on mission for you. Help us to live obedient. Help us to do now in these moments what you've called us to do. Help us to do it not only in these moments, but in those to come and the rest of our lives. We pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen.